Welcome to one of the most listened to music news podcasts in the world, SGNP, with your host, Darren Sutherland. Join us as we talk with industry leaders, artists, and entertainers about their faith, family, and careers. This is information you will not find anywhere else on radio, web, or in a magazine, but only firsthand on SGNP.
Pat Boone here for the folks at Swiss America. Rock solid foundations are vital in life, in business, and in finance, because in the end, only what we've built on a firm foundation will withstand the storms of life. Today, the economic storms are raging and the foundations of everything are being tested. The world economy has never looked shakier. And gold, the world's oldest and most trusted form of money, is also grabbing headlines. Now is the time to put your future on a rock-solid foundation. Swiss America will help you create an indestructible asset today. Discover the timeless truth about gold and silver by calling Swiss America or visiting online at SwissAmerica.com.
Call 800-614-7199, 800-614-7199, 800-614-7199. 800-614-7199.
And welcome back once again to SGNP. Darren Sutherland here with you this afternoon. And want to say thank you for everybody for listening since April. We started April 6, 2018. It's now November, getting ready to get into the Christmas season. Some of you are already in the Christmas season and doing things. And today I caught my co-host by surprise. No, it's not Arthur Rice. Arthur, we cut a show with Arthur, like we always did. And I want to say my producer wasn't here when I cut it. So, Jonathan, I messed it up. So, today on the line, we've got my buddy, the historian, the man that has more pictures of gospel music heritage than almost anybody in America, Jeff Turner. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Great, Darren. Glad to join you today.
Hey, man. And another thing, Jeff, 50 episodes. This is our 50th episode, and today we're going to play some a cut from our one of our favorite interviews we've done. But you've been with me, what, 10 or 12 episodes now and going through? I can't remember.
I think so. That sounds right. Yeah.
10 or 12. And, you know, everybody, we always laugh. Arthur and I always laugh. Have you seen your paycheck from this show and how much money you're making now? I mean, how your lifestyle has changed.
Yeah, it's quite a lucrative deal.
I mean, you know, maybe we can start our own video series before long. 50 episodes, so we've had a good time. Jeff, let me just ask you this. You were a listener before you were part of the program. I know that. And we met on Facebook, of all places. And some of the shows that we've done, what has been one of you? I mean, I'm catching you totally off guard here. And what's been one of your favorite shows or your favorite moments or something you can remember, whether it's personal or an email or anything you've heard from an artist or a participant in gospel music that you like about Southern Gospel News Podcast?
Well, I think one of the first interviews we did, Darren, was concerning the National Quartet Convention. And I've always been passionate about that because J.D. Sumner is one of my all-time favorite gospel music personalities. And naturally, he's the one that started the convention back in 57. So that was quite interesting, doing a little research on that. So that was probably my favorite.
Yeah, J.D. was a – I would love the opportunity to have interviewed J.D. on SGNP and let him talk about his days with Elvis, his days with Hovey, his days with Jake, his days with James. I mean, J.D., if you were to build a Mount Rushmore of gospel music – J.D.'s portrait would have to be on it, would it not?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he was bigger than life to me. I remember the first time I met him when I was 16 years old and, you know, could hardly talk around him.
So if you were going to build, Jeff, a Mount Rushmore of gospel music, who would, you being the historian, taking today's artist in focus and the past in focus, who's your four on Mount Rushmore?
Well, my pianist would have to be Hovey Lister.
Yeah.
You know, he's the king of gospel music in my opinion. And then, you know, naturally JD on bass would be my, two of my favorite lead singers have always been James Blackwood and Jack Tony.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who I would pick out of those two to put in my lead spot, but they've always been two of my favorites. And then I would have to say Doy Ott probably in the baritone spot, and he was very smooth. First tenor, oh, Lord. Well, my personal favorite is Cat Freeman.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people have ever heard him sing, but he had quite a unique voice. Naturally, most people know that he was Vestal Goodman's brother.
Yeah.
But I would say either him or Bill Shaw.
Yeah.
Of the Black Brothers.
Nice.
So.
Nice. You know, I would have to go. I would put a little bit more contemporaries on there. I would have to start with Hovey, okay? Hovey would have to be on there, okay? JD would have to be on there, okay?
Uh-huh.
My third spot would have to go to Bill Gaither.
Yeah.
Regardless of singing ability, anything like that, Gaither has to go on the Mount Rushmore. And then my fourth spot, you're going to laugh when I say this, would have to go to either Vestal Goodman or Peg McCamey. And here's why. Each of them have a unique style. Peg and Vestal have a unique style. And each of them brought that camp meeting feeling, so-called camp meeting feeling, to gospel music. You follow what I'm saying?
And that was a very, very popular style amongst the fans. You know, fans always enjoyed those two.
Yeah, no doubt, and they still do with Peg. This is their last year, Jeff. The McCameys are retiring in 2019. That's big. I mean, and you know what? Think about this, by the way. We didn't even mention George Jantz. Can you believe that? We got Mount Rushmore. George Jantz is not there. Eldridge Fox.
Jay Kess
is not there. Eldridge Fox is not there. I mean, we could go on and on on. So, Les Beasley. How do we build it without Les Beasley? You tell me that. So
it's hard to narrow down, that's for sure.
It is hard to narrow it down. Today is our 50th episode, so it's great that we're talking about folks from the past. We're going to take a quick break right here, Jeff, and we're going to hear some snippets from an interview. It was one of my favorite interviews that we did with Peg McCamey a while back. And I don't know if you got to hear that Peg McCamey interview, but she tells some interesting personal stories about her kids, her life, her daughter. And we didn't talk about the retirement yet because we didn't know about it at that point, but we'll get that before long, I'm sure. But here's our interview with Peg McCamey right here on SGNP.
This is Byron Dobbs of WLJA North Georgia Gospel Home, and you're listening to Southern Gospel News Podcast.
Is someone you love playing a dangerous game of Russian roulette? Hey, this is Darren, and I'm going to tell you some personal information. I've got dear friends who are addicted to methamphetamines. I've got family members who overdosed from heroin and passed away. I've got relatives who suffer alcohol addiction and are alcoholics. You've heard from Russ Taft talk about his problem with alcoholism. Addiction is a scary thing. In anywhere in the country you think about it, addiction's a big problem. Right now, the Addiction Hotline wants to help you and your family. And with the new federal Family Medical Leave Act, you can get the help you deserve. Call the Addiction Hotline today, 1-800-980-1761, 1-800-980-1761, and talk to them about the help you, your friends, or your family may need. Heck, over 43,000 people die every year from drug overdose. 88,000 people die every year from alcohol abuse. 1-800-980-1761. 1-800-980-1761. If Russ Taft can stand on stage and then later admit, hey, I've got a problem with alcoholism, you can too. Get the help you deserve, and I promise you, your heart will be so much happier for it, not to mention your family and friends.
Hi, this is James and Reggie with Southern Gospel Point of View, and you're listening to the fastest growing podcast about Southern Gospel news and commentary right here on SGNP, Southern Gospel News Podcast.
And welcome back to SGNP on the Kia Automotive Group Skype line. all the way up in Clinton, Tennessee, and we interrupted her vacation to get her on the phone with us today. Miss Peg McCamey. Miss Peg, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Oh, it's so good to be with you today.
Well, thank you, ma'am, and I'm sorry we interrupted your vacation up there in the mountains and at home. You're just staying at home for your vacation, huh?
Yes, sir, but and it's not a problem. I'm enjoying it. I've been on, we went out to Colorado last week and sang outdoors, I mean, in the southwest part of Colorado in Ridgeway, and it was 30 hours driving home Saturday after the sing, and already I'm missing going out and singing, but I'm going to stay home this week like we're supposed to on vacation.
Got a couple questions for you and about the McCameys. We've been blessed here on SGNP to talk to a lot of different folks, and quite frankly, you know, you are a legend in the field of gospel music. I mean, people, when you mention Southern gospel music, you can't help but mention the McCameys. You started way back with your sisters, back your biography says, in the 50s. You were singing with your sisters. You married Reuben. The families continued. When you started, did you ever think things would blossom to this level?
Never in a million years. We started with one song. Mm-hmm. My sister Dora said, I'm singing a song in church tomorrow. And this was on Saturday in her kitchen. And she said, I want, Carol, I want you to sing with me. Here's your part. And then she said, and Peg, here's your part. So you two are going to help me sing this song tomorrow in church. And from that, we sang, you know, in someone else's church. We sang in local churches all around here. People came in from Florida to hold the meeting and a revival from Ohio and Indiana. Folks started inviting us all over the country. And in 1980, Reuben said, we've got to do something. He had a flourishing business, and he said, we've got to either sing or I've got to work my business. And we decided, by the help of the Lord, to go full time. And he dissolved his business. He built houses. He had just sold two and had one for sale. And the real estate company, they rented that house until it sold. And he didn't lose a penny. And about that time, the marketing for houses, it fell to the bottom, and God showed up again in the McCamey's life. And he has showed us this is the way he chose. And so full-time since 1980, the McCamey's are still on the road today.
How long have you been, Mr. Reuben, been married?
The 29th of this month will be 59 years.
Wow.
Wow, that's what I said. We were just teenagers, and even in our early years of the marriage, still teenagers. So we really didn't know what we were doing, but you know the Lord has helped us, and we're still together after, and still in love, and sweethearts. Yeah,
I know this from hearing your story and hearing you on stage at different parts. Your two daughters sing with you today.
But Connie and Cheryl.
Connie and Cheryl. But you also have, am I wrong here? And maybe I missed, if I'm wrong, I'll apologize. But don't you have two adopted sons?
We do, and they don't sing.
Right.
One can sing. He plays the piano, but he lives in Knoxville. He's married and has one child, given us a daughter, you know, granddaughter.
Yes, ma'am.
And the other one is not married presently. Mm-hmm. He's in Illinois and has been there for years. I haven't seen him. None of us have seen him except, you know, by video.
Right.
In several years. And so he doesn't have any children.
Right.
But he's in Illinois and has been for several years. And happy and healthy, both of them are.
Right, and let me ask you this about adoption. Is it different being an adopted parent rather than a birth mom? I don't think it is, but I mean,
well, it's a little different in that my oldest son, he had a problem with his past life. He was five when we got him,
mm-hmm.
and he kept going back to his mother,
yeah.
and she was doing drugs and got him hooked, and he was tough to get along with, but you know, we worked it out. I went in his bedroom and then closed the door, and I said, listen, you tell me your heart,
yeah.
and I can know from that how to help you and what I should do, and he did, and it was, he thought maybe that we bought him, because, you know, when I first got him, they didn't have any clothes, and we went and bought all kinds of clothes for him,
yeah.
And he thought that we gave all this money to his mother. Well, as it wound up, he got his first wife, took him back to his mother after all those years, and she did drugs, and he still is doing drugs,
mm-hmm.
and alcohol, and he broke into our dentist office, stole money for drugs, and he said, Mom, you and Dad have taught me right. And I'm leaving. I will not bring any more shame and reproach on my mom and dad. And he left. And as I said, we haven't seen him now. He's, you know, he stays in touch.
Yes, ma'am.
By phone. And but we haven't seen him now. You know, our son over in Knoxville,
mm-hmm.
he came at the hospital when I had a triple bypass in December, the
yes,
end
ma'am.
Of December. He came over to the hospital and visited everybody, and then we haven't seen him since, because he had a hernia operation while I was recouping, you know, from my heart bypasses.
Right.
So, but he's good. They're good boys. They are a good and hardworking boys too.
Let me say this to you about those stories right there. A lot of people would say to me, Darren, why would you ask Peg that, and why would Peg mind telling that? Because I think, Miss Peg, when some people see you on stage, they sit there and they look and say, man, she's got everything perfect. She's got everything in life figured out. They wear these fancy dresses. They drive around. Everybody tells them they love them. But, you know, it's like Karen Peck's song says, everybody's going through something. And if you're going through something, you might as well go through something with him. So you've literally had to live your songs, it sounds like, to go through some of the things that you've went through. Is that correct?
That's correct. And, you know, I was saved at a young age, and, of course, you know, brought our children up in church and Bible school and revivals and at the singings. And, I've endured a lot of things and seen a lot of things, and that's why I love people, because all of God's people have a need, and we huddle together, and it makes it better when you've got somebody to hug you up.
Yes, ma'am, it does. I heard this story here, and I got to bring it up. 1988, y'all had rehearsed the song God on the Mountain, but hadn't sang it, and then in Hendersonville, Tennessee, Twitty City at the time, which is TBN now, y'all sang it. Tell me about God on the Mountain, the first time you heard it, the first time you sang it, because it's almost like your signature song in a roundabout way. You've got a lot of great songs, okay? And there's some songs you sang in the old that I still listen to the day that y'all don't sing anymore, but I love them. But tell me about God on the Mountain and that song.
I'll be glad to. We're doing our second live project in Hendersonville with the Morning Star Records, Eddie Crook, and we decided to, we had the date and all, and we had very few songs, I think six or seven songs to do, new mm-hmm. songs, and that we'd rehearsed and knew pretty well, but we needed more songs, and my friend in Chattanooga, Doris Evans, mm-hmm. Sent me a tape. A preaching tape, because I love preaching. Reuben's dad was a preacher. My dad was a preacher. And so I love to hear preaching, good preaching. And so she sent me that because she knew I'd love it. And there was a trio that sang this song, God on the Mountain. And so I showed, when we needed another song for that live project, I showed it to the family, and Reuben said, we best not do that, Peg, because we don't know it. And you know, it's hard to deliver a song you don't know.
Right.
And so, but I said, what else then are we going to do? We can't just do a live video with, you know, six or seven songs. And so he agreed we could do that. And we went and rehearsed with the band.
Yeah.
And then went to the bus to dress and get ready. And I became very sick, just like sick at my stomach.
Yeah.
And I laid down a while and talked to the Lord. And we started the taping. And I'm telling you what, when we got to God on the mountain, that place exploded.
Yeah.
There was more people needed that than just me.
Yeah.
And my family, we needed that that song to realize, hey, God is God in any circumstance, and God has used it, you know, to bless and help others. And for that, I'm grateful, and I'm thankful to my friend for sending it to me. I'm thankful for the writer. He told us that he wrote that song in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And he also is a preacher.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's been a, I mean, we have to sing that every night.
Yeah.
And we don't mind at all.
I mean, the song, I've often said to people about the song when they ask me about the song, it's so simple, yet so
yes.
deep that it,
yes.
that it transcends time. You follow
yes,
me?
Sir. Yes, sir, I sure do. It's the song, all right. You know, God's blessed us with a lot of great songs. Our present single
yeah.
At the radios now is called Be Brave.
Yeah.
And it's a timely song for today because, you know, the Lord told us in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20, and in these dark days, and we are in a warfare with the world,
mm-hmm.
and we're warriors. And he told us to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand in the power of his might and be strong. But and we do that. That's what we need to do. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, mm-hmm. against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes, ma'am.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So that's what we are trying to encourage our saints and our Christian friends in this world today, is be brave.
What do you do, Miss Peg? Because, you know, you're human just like the rest of us. And there's ladies,
yes,
there's ladies out there that's going to be listening to this and saying, you know, that's Peg McCamey. I could never be like Peg McCamey. But guess what? Miss Peg McCamey gets down and out just like everybody else. I'm sure when they said to you guys, Eli's got to
have... I'm human.
Yeah. I mean, when they said to you guys, Eli's got to have a second transplant on his kidney, you were down and out. And when they talked about your heart condition and you had to have an operation, you were down and out. And you've mentioned your sons earlier and you were down and out. What do you do when you're just down and out? Because we're human. What does Peg McCamey do at that point?
I stay a lot on my knees, and I keep my nose in the Word of God, and that strengthens me and encourages me. I don't miss a day without reading twice a day in the Word of God and studying it, and I pray morning and night, and then I pray throughout the day, and the Lord strengthens me, and you can't get any better strength than that.
Nice. What does Miss Peg McCamey like to do outside of singing? What are some of the fun things you like to do, you and Reuben like to do, that the regular folks, well, I don't mean to say regular folks, that people don't get to see you do? I mean, what's some of your hobbies? What's some of the things you like to do? I know you said you miss traveling this week on the bus, but what do you miss? What do you do that you like to do?
Well, seeing people, because Reuben and I live back 2,000 feet off the road in the woods, and we watch the squirrels and whatever else comes through. you know, the deer and so forth, and relax at home. But I love to wash and hang my clothes on the line and iron, and I do that. And I work in the office and help out there when I can and do what I can for the group and do what I can for my children. And we have a Cheryl, our baby daughter, lives in Georgia.
Yeah.
And she makes the sacrifice of traveling 2 hours to Clinton, get on the bus, and go wherever, like last week to Colorado.
Right.
I pray a lot for her because she's on the road by herself. And then Connie, of course, you know, has had problems with Eli's kidney, and she and Roger have been healthy. And they still are. But Eli has had 2 kidney transplants.
Right.
His daddy gave him one in the first, and he was 12 years old. Now he's 23, and he's had his second transplant. A friend of his that's the same age of him gave him one of his kidneys. And Eli is flourishing, you know, but we pray a lot, you see. We stay in touch with the Lord, and therefore, he can use us to help others. Well, we've been there. We've been a lot of places. We've been to the hospital. We've been to the funeral home. I had my oldest sister's only child died in his sleep at an early age, and we buried him the first week in May. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we experienced the funeral homes and the hospitals, you know, just like everybody else, we're human. But the Lord keeps us strong. And the message, like I said, we listen to preaching by tape, on the radio, and in person. And our pastor, Brother Mike, he's a great preacher, and we hear him on most every Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up next. I hear you guys make it a point not to take bookings on Sunday. Sometimes you do, some major events you've done through the years, like Hiawassee and other places like that. But you make it a point to be at your home church every Sunday. That's important to you, is it not?
Well, you're exactly right. And now that Cheryl's husband is pastor there in Chickamauga at the Oakwood Baptist Church. And, you know, we try to get her back home because she sings in the choir.
Yeah.
And her son leads the choir and the band and all. And so, you know, that's something we like to do, is to get home for church and relax and refresh ourselves with his people. So, you know, we have a good time. We don't have to sing, sing with the choir if we want to, you know, that sort of thing. But we worship, and I believe that pleases our Lord. Job, in all of his affliction, he talked to the Lord, and he got confirmation from the Lord. And so you need to stay in touch with the Lord.
That's it. Let me ask you a couple more questions, and we'll get going, because I know you're on vacation. You want to go hang your clothes on the line today, because it's probably
I've got something to hang on. I do.
Thinking back, Miss Pagan, I'm going to make you think back, okay?
Okay.
And looking around at all the places you've been, have you ever just got on the bus and looked at Reuben, looked at Connie, looked at anybody, your sister Carol back when she was with you, and you looked at them and you said, and can you think of a time where you looked at them and says, wow, how did we get here except by the Lord? And where were you when that happened? I mean, in a situation that man may have planned, but God took control of, so to speak. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I know that. I know that feeling, and it's a warm feeling.
Right.
It's a hug from the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
So I know a hug when I feel it. You know, I hug people that stiffen up. They're not huggers. I can tell right off, you know, but I'm in the hug. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I found myself lost and could only see hell, I was tormented day and night during that time of conviction. And then I finally surrendered to him and gave him my life at a Bible school morning. Actually, it was before noon.
And I came to him, and I felt like I was no good. I mean, I was absolutely at the bottom.
Amen.
And
Amen.
The preacher opened God's word, and he began to read. He read like this: "For God so loved Peg." Whoa, you talk about exploding. My heart did. He loved me that he gave his only begotten son for me. And I've never gotten over that. In all these years, I might have got dim, but I'll tell you what, it's still exciting today when I think of it. When Reuben sings "Something Worth Saving,"
yeah,
I melt. Yeah. My heart melts again because I go back to that altar where I was on my knees as a little girl, and I found that I didn't have to go to hell. And I've been excited ever since. I tell you, the Lord's been good to me.
No doubt. No doubt. Mm. Last question for you, and we'll get off here. What's retirement look like to Peg and Reuben? And have you made any plans or any thoughts of that? I mean, you've been married there, you said 59 years.
Yeah.
And you've got, and you see some of your friends. I mean, y'all do, what, 150 dates, 125 dates a year, traveling on the road. You know, you've had some health issues yourself. Have you thought about retirement at all? Have you thought about backing off some? Has that ever come into play?
We've thought about retirement, and so until that time comes, we're slowing down some, you know, and not traveling as much. And I think we're going to be taking more time off, but I don't know about retirement. I have not heard from the Lord on that. So we don't think of that way. We think about we'll take some time off and not, because we don't have the energy that we used to have.
Right. Well, who knows? You could end up retiring and doing what everybody else does in Knoxville on Saturday afternoon, going down there and watch the Tennessee Volunteers. You never know.
Never been over there, but we had some friends in Nashville that loved the Vols.
Yeah.
And he said to me, "Peg, if I lived that close, we're 18 miles from Knoxville."
Right.
He said, "I'd be there at every practice." I said, "Not this chick."
That's funny. Great interview with Peg McCamey. Great insight. Great. And I know some of you have already heard that. But instead of cutting up a bunch of interviews for our 50th episode, I just thought I would take a personal privilege and play my favorite, Jeff. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Hey, and you know what? We're doing this without Arthur today. Jeff, from a historical perspective, tell folks, I mean, tell me about Arthur as a singer. We know about him as a man and as a friend and as a co-host on here, and sometimes I think he gets taken for granted, if you want to know the truth about it, about his longevity, his voice, and his ability. But how do fans, in your eyes, see the Arthur Rice?
Well, the first time I saw Arthur was in 1985. He was with the Kingsmen. He had just joined them, and he was, for the most part, playing the bass for them. And, you know, he would sing Jim Hamill to bring him up to sing certain songs and that. And the first thing I remember about him, naturally, and kind of what he's known for is holding out those long notes. I think they did "How Great Thou Art" or whatever, and he held out that long note for probably 30 seconds at least.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty amazing, the breath control that he had to be able to do something like that, you know.
It's amazing, and a lot of people don't hear all the hats Arthur has now. Everybody knows him when he was a Kingsman. He's been with the Kingdom Heirs for about 22 years now. He's co-hosting this show. He's the president of the Southern Gospel Music Association. It's either the Music Association or the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, I forget which one, but he's over the Hall of Fame. I'm messing up right there, okay? But that's the great thing about podcasts. I can mess up, okay? Anyway, he's the president and on the committee on who gets in the Hall of Fame. He loves the music and loves the information. And as we talk about loving the music and loving the information, you've got a Facebook site that I want to make sure all our listeners check out and submit their pictures to you and go over. Talk to us about it a little bit, Jeff.
Well, I started this back in February of 2017, and it's really taken off. We're approaching 9,000 members right now. And what I do is I've amassed, you know, several thousand pictures over the last 5-6 years, and I'd like to post them on there and for people to see and to share them. And maybe it's something nobody's seen before, or maybe a group they've never heard of, or you know, matter of fact, last night, talking about Arthur, a gentleman posted a picture of the Kingsman Quartet from 1960, and there aren't many photos I haven't seen, but I have never seen this one before, and kind of took me by surprise. But so y'all tell Arthur about that so he could check that out, because I'm sure he'll want to see that.
I'm going to tell you about a picture that I laughed about that was posted not too long ago. That we've got Ivan coming up on a show coming up, but you posted an old picture from about 19, I guess the picture, I'm going to say it was in the early 80s is when the picture was taken, but it was when Riversong had signed Gold City. And it has Brian Free, Gary Jones, the piano player, Tim Riley, Ivan Parker, and Mike Lefevre. And do you know what I thought was interesting out of that picture? Can I tell you?
What's that?
Riley didn't have a rug on.
No, he did not.
we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it. That was
a hot group at that time too. I mean, they were on fire. They were at the top of their popularity.
They were. I mean, you know, Midnight Cry was a big song for them that was crossing over into secular markets as well as contemporary Christian music. A lot of folks were listening to that Chuck Day song. And was it Chuck or Greg Day? Do you recall who wrote it?
Greg.
It was Greg. Okay.
I think they co-wrote it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Chuck and Greg Day. They've got a gospel country group called The Days that I think is still out performing now. But they wrote that song, Midnight Cry. And been a great, great, great song for years. And Jonathan Wilburn did a great job with that song. But Ivan kind of owns that song. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, and I think if you put and talk top 10 songs of all time, I think you'd have to put that in there.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Anyway.
What is your favorite song of all time by Mel or a quartet?
Boy. Now that's a...
That's a
that
tough
one. Caught me off guard.
Yeah, that's my job. You know, that's my job, Jeff.
You know, I love the old. I posted a picture of Vep Ellis a while back. He was a great songwriter from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and he wrote a song called "I Know You Heard My Prayer," which Kingdom Heirs brought out on an album a few years ago. And the Statesman just did a great job on that song. That's one of my favorite older songs. I'd have to say Midnight Cry is probably one of my favorite modern-day songs.
Great, great song. Great, great song. And, you know, if I can't answer that question either. I guess my favorite song, and you're going to laugh when I say this, but my favorite song is the song in the comes off the album that got me hooked on gospel music. And this goes back to about 1987, 1988. Now, I'd always been around gospel music and always loved gospel music, but this album got me hooked on it. And it was the Kingsmen live from Opryland, and Stand Up. Stand Up. If you love Jesus, you know, that got me. That got me kicked off. And then live from Mississippi, which was recorded in Jackson, Mississippi. I loved Hamill in the way he introduced "When Mama Prayed, Heaven Paid Attention," and how Ed Crawford came in and sang that. I think it was Ed Crawford.
I
believe it was. Yep. So, you know, and I can remember all those songs. So, good times, good times. So, if you want to see those old pictures, you want to see things like that, go to Jeff's Facebook site, Southern Gospel Memories and Pictures. Now, Jeff, we've also got a Facebook site. We've got a website also. Our Facebook site is real easy to remember, Southern Gospel News Podcast. And we do some fun posts on there from time to time. And I think one of the funnest features that we do on there is the polls that we do. And finding out the demographics. And, you know, I had somebody the other day send me a message and said, "Y'all are turning into the Jerry Springer of gospel music." I said, "Lord have mercy, how do we get to be that bad? I mean, how did we get to be that? Do you think we're the Jerry Springer of gospel music, Jeff?"
No, I think it's all in fun, and you come up with some good poll topics.
Yeah,
for sure.
Let me ask you one of the poll topics. I'm gonna put you on the spot right now. Okay, you ready?
All right.
Bacon or sausage? Which one do you prefer?
If I'm a Cracker Barrel, I prefer sausage. Otherwise, bacon.
How about this? I'll tell you, if I'm at Cracker Barrel, I prefer bacon. If I'm at if I'm at Waffle House, I prefer sausage. You go to Waffle House and you can actually hold the bacon up and see the wall on the other side. It's so thin.
Nice.
It is what it is. But you can go to Southern Gospel News Podcast, and we asked a variety of questions, and we have a lot of fun with it. But you know what? We ask real life stuff. And we talked this week just on that Facebook site about, do we think politicians are giving evangelicals a bad name, yes or no? And people put yes or no. A lot of people know this. You may have a different opinion than I do, Jeff, but one top contemporary Christian artist just performed on the TV show Ellen, okay, and received rave reviews. I mean, rave reviews, and Ellen even gave her CD out to all the participants in the audience. Would you, Jeff, like to see an artist, a gospel artist, perform on a secular TV show as we know it?
Well, an avenue like that's a good good way to get the word out, that's for sure. Yeah, you know, I don't see why not.
And you being a historian, let me ask you this. If gospel music had accepted the Oak Ridge Boys back in the early 70s when they were, quote-unquote, how do we say this, in a politically correct manner without offending somebody, when they were kind of ostracized and pushed aside in the gospel music world. And a lot of us know the story, and maybe we'll get Dwayne Allen on one day to tell it. But if the Oak Ridge Boys had been able to stay in gospel music, do you believe gospel music may be a little bit bigger on the American scene today than it is right now?
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
No doubt. Yeah. So, you know, I always say this. It's all about the gospel, is it not?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's all about the gospel. So visit us on Southern Gospel News Podcast Facebook site. You can also go to our website, Southern Gospel News Podcast, find any of our information. And sometimes I forget to say this, Jeff, but you can download wherever you get your podcast, from whether it's Stitcher, from your iPhone, from anywhere else, download and subscribe to Southern Gospel News Podcast. We've had some great shows, Jeff. We're going to continue having some great shows. And like the ones you heard from Peg McCamey, we've had Michael Booth, we've had Maurice Templeton, we've had Ed Leonard, Chris White. I mean, inside the Beltway folks, outside the Beltway folks, Rob Patz, Jeff Steele was with us for a while, Karen Peck. I mean, the names go on and on. It's a who's who of gospel music here in Southern Gospel News Podcast. And you know what? We're lucky, Jeff, are we not?
Well, so you've covered the whole spectrum, that's for sure.
And you know what?
So whatever your interest, you'll likely hear it here on the Southern Gospel News Podcast.
Well, thank you, man. And, hey, we'll be back next week, and I think next week you're going to do a segment about brothers, correct?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you go to our website. Make sure you go to Jeff's Facebook page. Make sure you go to our Facebook page. Make sure you call our sponsors. Take those 800 numbers down. Call them and check them out. That's how we make money, folks. That's how we keep this thing alive. Lord, I don't want to sound like Creflo Dollar, do I, Jeff? Would that make me sound bad if I sounded like Creflo?
No, you're good. You're good.
I would. You know what? I told somebody the other day, if we get to the end of the way and all this has been a joke, I can always say that I've lived a great life being a Christian, okay? But if we get to the end of the way and we're coming in reincarnation, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to be a TV preacher. How about that?
There you go. Sound like a plan.
All right. Hey, Jeff, one other question before we get out of here. What's wrong with living right anyway?
Nothing.
There you go. We'll see you next week on SGNP.
SGNP is excited you chose to listen today. If you'd kindly leave a remark and rating in the podcast remarks section, we surely would appreciate it. Please share with a friend or family member. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and our new website, SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com. To advertise your products, services, concert event, or new project on SGNP and reach a 100% guaranteed number of people in your area, call Tim Newton at 770-874-3200 or email him today, tnewton@bgadgroup.com.
Let us geo-target our ads for you, something radio nor magazine can do.
Hey, this is Darren Sutherland. Before I close, I want to thank our affiliates out there, WLJA in North Georgia, KWFC in Springdale, Arkansas, the new one, The Andrew Burnett Show, heard all across the country, and online, thelightatlanta.com, playing Southern gospel music online. We're adding affiliates every day. We're partnering with Ken and the folks over there at Gospel Music TV real soon, so we look forward to that partnership. If your gospel music entity would love to partner with SGMP, get a hold of us. It's real simple. Folks, here's the deal. We've reached out to literally every form of media in gospel music. If we've missed you, I'm sorry. But we've had great partnerships with folks like Paul Heil and others. If you haven't heard someone on the air, it's not because we hadn't reached out. We hope everyone is successful, no matter if they're a radio station, a magazine, a website, a group, whomever it is. God bless you, and let's make gospel music better than it was today, tomorrow. Easy enough.
Ever wonder how the credit card companies make their money? Well, think about this. If you owe $25,000 on five different credit cards and you make your minimum payments every month, here's what it's going to cost you. Are you sitting down? You'll shell out over $13,000 in additional interest, and it's going to take over 13 years to pay off your original $25,000 balance. That's how they make money. Now it's your turn to fight back by calling the Debt Solutions Network. We'll work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. We promise we can and will reduce your debt. Call right now for a free 15-minute debt analysis. 877-490-1207. 877-490-1207. 877-490-1207.